All right, you are tuned in here to the Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. We're talking today all about getting outside. And what do you find outside? Wildlife. Patricia, you know a thing or two about wildlife.
A little bit.
She was raised by wolves.
It's funny that you should mention that. Just watched The Jungle Book recently and loved it. Rudyard Kipling.
Not an accurate representation of the jungle. However,
no,
it's a good story.
But a great story. So working for Clemson University, what preceded that was being a student at Clemson University. And I do have a degree in wildlife fisheries biology.
Yeah, so she knows about the wildlife. So what kind of wildlife are we going to be seeing out in the fall?
You know, we live in one of the most beautiful places in the nation, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I was born and raised in Pickens County, South Carolina.
Here.
So, yeah, I was.
So, yeah, not biased.
Yeah.
It's true that I was not born and raised in Pickens County, South Carolina, and I think it's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been to.
Yeah,
I
concur. Upstate of South Carolina, between Oconee and Anderson and Lawrence, Spartanburg.
The whole Appalachian region is
Greenville, Pickens.
So it's diverse.
Really gorgeous. And, you know, the Appalachian Mountain Range, which the Blue Ridge is a spur of, is one of the oldest mountain ranges on the planet, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. That's why they're so small. That's why the Appalachian Mountains are way older than the Rocky Mountains. The Rocky Mountains are big and tall because they haven't been eroding for as long. Although the Rocky Mountains that we have now are the third set of Rocky Mountains. So mountains build up and they erode and they build up. And
that's
they
right. There's lots of what they call orogenies, or mountain building periods. So the great thing about being where we live is that there are lots of habitats. And, you know, I grew up hunting and fishing and learning about all the animals that that we can encounter when we're going outside, enjoying our natural spaces.
Yeah. So I'm walking down the trail and I see a snake. I should be afraid, right? I should be deathly afraid and run away screaming.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you deathly afraid of squirrels?
No.
Are you deathly afraid of turtles?
No, not usually.
Deathly afraid of frogs?
No, actually, I love frogs.
Right.
I pick up every frog that I see. I wish they could understand me. I just want to say, I'm not going to eat you. I just want to look at you.
I just want to love you.
But then they pee on me and I put them down.
Good luck with that. So, you know, it's always amazing to me why we have this sort of built-in innate fear. And I believe it is a learned fear because I do use snakes and reptiles, other reptiles, in my educational programs with 4-H youth development. And my youngest kids are absolutely no fear. So it is a taught fear that we have of snakes. Now, should we be respectful of all wildlife? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But is it necessary to have this gut level fear reaction and say the only good snake is a dead snake? No, I think that that's an old wives' tale and it's outdated information.
And I think maybe people are afraid of being bit. Or they just don't like the way they slither. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. They don't have shoulders. That is kind of weird. But not scary, just weird. But you have to think about it. A snake doesn't prey on humans.
No.
So a snake preys on smaller animals.
Yeah, and rodents and smaller lizards and things
of
that nature.
So it's not going to go out of its way to attack you. That's a waste of energy that it could be saving for something that it's actually going to eat. You know, if you're sitting there poking at it with a stick, yes, it has to defend itself. But if you're just walking down the trail, the snake is not going to launch out and bite you.
No. In fact, they think of us as predators, so they want to get away from us as far as possible. So
if
you're hiking down the trail, first of all, we talked about leave no trace principles, and staying on the trail is really important. That's why you're going to see the snake. Snakes, you know, hide. They're great camouflage artists, so they have that cryptic coloration that makes them very difficult to see. If you're staying on the trail in the designated walking areas, you're more likely to see an animal that you can avoid.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, humans, we're up on the top of the predator list. So, you know, most animals are trying to get away from us. They're scared of us because we could very easily remove them from living,
right,
which we don't. But, you know, we're top dogs in that regard.
So,
not for everything, but
we do have venomous species of snakes. We have two main ones that would be of concern. And that's, of course, the very common copperhead. And then the slightly less common timber rattler. And those timber rattlers are going to, and canebrake rattlers are going to occur in much higher elevations. So if you're up around Caesar's Head or Table Rock, you're more likely to encounter one of those. But copperheads,
and you'll know when you
occur.
See a rattlehead because you'll hear it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You'll be able to see it or hear it anyway and avoid it. So
right.
It rattles at you for a reason.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of people say, oh, the shape of the head or the color pattern. And we have a lot of pattern species of snakes that are in fact non-venomous that get a bad rap because people will see, like, for instance, the corn snake. They'll see that pattern, that beautiful coloration in the snake, and they'll immediately think copperhead. Mm-hmm. And so actually we do see those populations declining. But they are really great at controlling vermin. So,
oh, yeah. Snakes are really great to have around your house or around your property.
Mm-hmm. King snakes, rat snakes, they're really beneficial.
And king snakes will eat other snakes. So if you don't like snakes, keep the king snakes around because they will eat other snakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So this time of year, they are going to be starting to look for places to hibernate. Snakes will overwinter under rocks, under logs, in your garage.
They're sleeping. They're waiting out the winter.
In your basement. So they're looking for places to ride out the winter.
Yeah, whereas, and snakes are really cool because, you know, they're cold-blooded animals, so they have to use the sun's warmth or warmth of a rock, or, you know, they don't make their own heat, so they have to find their heat from external sources. So in the winter, when there's not as much heat, they basically slow their metabolism down and go hibernate until it's warm again. So they're all of their physiological processes just come to a slow pace.
So as we are starting to get outside, we were talking about how awesome this fall weather is and how much we love to be outside in the fall. So we're going to start to see less of the reptiles and the amphibians, but we're certainly going to see an increase in some other types of animals. So Marie, what are some of your favorite types of animals that you see when you're out walking on the Swamp Rabbit Trail?
I really like chipmunks.
Oh, yeah?
Aww.
Very nice.
They're smaller than squirrels.
They are.
And at Clemson, they have all those squirrels, but there was just this one chipmunk that I would see occasionally. So I just felt like he was the underdog. Oh. And bunny rabbits. I like those. I don't see those as often. Mainly I just see dogs on the trail, which are on leashes, which I enjoy.
Which is a good wildlife. Yeah. But I'm sure there's
but
lots
I see
of
more
birds.
Wildlife in with you, with all your snakes that you bring into the office and critters.
Now, and what county are you from?
Like originally? Mm-hmm. Lancaster.
All right. And do you guys have any wildlife sightings out that way?
Oh, I mean, like deer predominantly.
Yeah.
And my dad shoots those. So.
All right. So that's a good point. When you're out wandering around and you're starting to hike, it's really important to understand when your wildlife seasons are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because if you're out in the woods and you're not making yourself apparent by wearing, you know, bright color or maybe you've got a bell on your bag or something, you could be mistaken for an animal or your pet could be mistaken for an animal. Well, right. You are animals, but you could be mistaken for a wild animal.
We tie brightly colored handkerchiefs to our animals, to our dogs when we're out hiking, especially in the woods, in the backcountry. We definitely make sure that not only are we wearing bright colors, but that our dogs are wearing bright colors.
Yeah, that way hunters can see you and know that they don't want to
meet
you.
Yeah, this is definitely deer season right now.
It is coming up in the beginning of October. I believe October 1st is when the deer season kicks off for the upstate. Yeah.
In Lancaster, it's
a little Kershaw. Bit earlier. Yeah.
It's earlier.
Okay. One thing about hunting that is really cool, whenever you buy a hunting license or a duck stamp or guns and ammunition, that money goes back into conservation education and conservation research. So even if you don't hunt yourself, it's still advantageous to get those duck stamps and get those hunting licenses because that money goes into conservation work. So, I mean, that makes sense. The hunters, they want these animals to last because they are out hunting them. And hunters are very in tune with, you know, the ecology of an area. Right. Because, you know, if you're a deer hunter, you don't want to see the deer disappear. You want healthy deer populations, not only in terms of numbers, but in terms of quality of your deer. You know, you want the healthiest animals that you can get because you're going to be eating them and turning them into your own health.
Absolutely. And so, you know, game species is one of the things that we think of the most when we're managing for wildlife. We also have bear hunting in the upstate, and also turkey hunting.
Wow.
So when's bear season?
Bear season will be coming up in October as well. Yeah, absolutely. It's a much shorter season.
And it's is it true to say that it's...
Oh, yeah. I found one.
Is it true to say that it is always coyote season?
It is. Coyotes are considered not a game species, but a pest species. And I don't know if you guys recently saw on the news, they did have a video of a pack of coyotes from on a game camera, a trail camera from down in the low country. We've had coyotes, you know, sustained populations of coyotes since the 70s. And they actually were first noted in Oconee County. So they
were upstate animals. I was going to say, I think in Lancaster that came along some, like when I was a kid, I remember that there was no talk of coyotes.
Okay. Right. And coyotes, I mean, they do play an important ecological niche. They do hunt some of those smaller mammals and, you know, it's good for population control, I guess, but they're kind of getting overrun. So beware of coyotes.
And they have furry feces.
They do. That's scat is what we refer to. And you find
I call them my dad always points out different.
Wow.
We call it the feces of the species.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, get yourself some feces guides or some scat guides, some print guides, and you can go, even if you don't see the animal itself, you can look for clues as to and see what's been around.
It's kind of like bird watching, but on a lower level.
All right, you are tuned in here to the Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer with special guests Patricia and Marie, and my name is Maddie, and thanks for listening.
Always hang my head under the blue green mountain sky. 94.5 WGTK The Answer.